Well, today we're going to be talking about celebrating Christmas. And it's something that we have all done in our lifetime, basically several times, some of us more times than others. For me, I suppose I'm on about my 55th, sixth year of it, and it never gets old. I love this time of year. Celebrating Christmas. What are some of your favorite memories? And you just kind of think this through a little bit. You know, you don't have to necessarily answer out loud. But when you think of some of your favorite memories in the past, and you think of Christmas, what comes to mind? For me, one of the many memories is Christmas as a kid, going to my grandparents' house on Christmas Eve. Now, the thing about it is, I'll give you a little bit of background. The thing about it is, my grandparents were German immigrants from the 1920s, and they had four kids, and those four kids had families. And by the time I was around, there was probably 25 or 30 people in Hastings, Nebraska, that celebrated Christmas at Christmas Eve with my grandparents in their little tiny two-bedroom house. And of all things, I don't know why I even bring this up, they only had one bathroom, which to me is like, boy, that's interesting. But we all found a place. And the kids' place was on the carpet on the floor, and the adults had enough chairs to sit in the chairs. My parents would bring my parents and my cousin's parents would bring their best gift for their child, you know, the big one. Kind of like that best Barbie, right? You know? And yeah, that's beautiful. And the reason I loved it so much were my parents, our grandparents were German immigrants. They were from very North Germany on the North Sea. And I don't know if you know, Northern Europeans, and I suppose there's some of you here that have that descent. As a rule, we're not all that demonstrative. My grandparents were really stoic, you know, and meaning not showing a lot of emotion or joy or unhappiness or whatever. They were just stoic. But I was always floored how on Christmas Eve, that entire family, who was normally pretty stoic and quiet, just was so full of joy and fun, and it was just an amazing thing, you know. In these brief moments together, I'm sure that you can think of similar memories as well. And that kind of all falls under the category of, okay, how have we celebrated Christmas as a family or a church or whatever, kind of that how we celebrate. And I'm not here today to speak to that. I'm here today in these brief moments that we have together to look into God's Word and to demonstrate in these brief moments why we celebrate. As a church, as Christians, as a believing community, why do we celebrate Christmas? I mean, today's we're going to be full of the Christmas cheer, right? You've got a brief sermon this morning, and you've got a time of Christmas cheer and singing and song tonight. 7 o'clock, I think, isn't it? Why do we do such things? Isaiah chapter 9. Several hundred years before Jesus' birth, several hundred years before anybody had ever even thought about Christmas or having one. They didn't celebrate at this time. The prophet writes, looking into the future, in a future time, in a day, when the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those that are living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has shone. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it, upholding it with justice and righteousness, and from that time and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish all of this. We celebrate Christmas because our King, Jesus. We celebrate Christmas because our King has come. He is born. That which Isaiah had foretold several hundred years before comes in the embodiment of Jesus. A light has dawned to people that are living in darkness. Well, what is that light? It's a child that is born. And his name is Jesus. You remember the angel and Mary's conversation, that first pre-Christmas warm-up in Luke? I think Tim referred to it. You know, there in the first chapter of Luke, I mean, Mary says, how can this be that I'm, you know? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even your, you know, and Mary's response is, I'm the Lord's servant, may it be as you said. And the angel left her. Our King is born, and his name is Emmanuel. That's one of the many names. Have you ever thought of the many names of Jesus? He has more names than I have screwdrivers in my toolbox. And one of those names is Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means something amazing. And we must not stop from celebrating this one clear fact. At Christmas, you and I celebrate the arrival of God's Son to earth. He became one of us. God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, and the reason he sent him was to set captives free, to release prisoners from prison, whether literal or figuratively, and to redeem his people, to buy them back. We celebrate Christmas not only because Jesus is born on Christmas, but that he, in his choosing of the place of birth, did not choose to be born in a royal castle, in a high, lofty place, and away from the people. He was born right down in the gritty muck and mud and everyday life of the everyday common person. There was no room for him in the Motel 8, much less the Holiday Inn or the Hilton. He grew up and he lived and he walked among us. And he was humble, and he was gentle, and he was kind, and tears. Think of tears. It's hard to imagine God in heaven, as it were, or not having ever seen him, not ever known him personally, to imagine that he might cry. That's a very human thing. I won't get into all the scientific detail and data on tears, but psychologists think today that maybe even tears have a healing kind of a effect. And I heard also that there's like a cup and a half, and I can't hardly imagine that. Your tear ducts have a tremendous amount of tears stored in them. And when the tears flow and the emotions come out, whether it's grief or agony, or joy, or pain, or hurting over a loved one, someone you care about deeply. Those are very human things. God sent his Son to earth to heal the sick, cure the lame, set captives free, and to attend funerals. Jesus wept. God experiences exactly what we experience. So that's the thing. God has become man, not that he is just a man because he is God, but he is fully man. And he understands the types of things that you and I go through. And yes, he sheds a tear when you're kind of thing. We are cared for and loved by the one who came. No, seriously. You and I are cared for in this present moment by the living Christ, who came, as it were, in the form of a child. Philippians says about this, about this Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, and he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, here's something to celebrate. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God his Father. Our King is born. It's reason enough to celebrate, but I go on. Our King not only was born, our King redeems. The closest thing we have to a king, I suppose, is a president. I don't know. And whether Republican or Democrat, I know one thing for sure. He or she does not know my name and does not particularly show and exhibit and demonstrate individual care for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they act on our behalf and hopefully keep us safe and those kind of things. But they aren't the kind of king that redeems us, that brings us back to God and sits us at the right hand of the Father, as it were, at the seat of the Father. Our King gives us an opportunity to become his child. That blows me away about Scripture. I won't turn to the page, but it's like, there's a sense of which we are born in a human nature and born to parents, and I'm Melvin and Rosemarie Ferris's child. Tim, you're Mark and Donna's child. I don't know why I hesitated. Well, I do know. I wanted to put you on the hot seat a little bit. I know who my parents were. And Jesus is saying, I have come to redeem you, to buy you back. If you will place your faith and your trust in me, I will give you what? The right to become children of God. And that, the scriptures say, is what you are. Well, not only is a king born, but a king redeems. And a king brings us into an amazingly close relationship with God. Does not God care for his children more than the sparrows? Does not God care for children like you and I more than who wins the Super Bowl? Course. We celebrate Christmas because the king's born and the king redeems us. And he redeems us simply, how? How has he bought you back? Or let me put it this way, has he bought you back? I sat in church facilities like this for 20 years of my life, and I knew all the right answers to the Sunday school questions, and the right answer was always Jesus, by the way, if you ever want to know. But I didn't know him. And so I just ask us this morning, do you know that you're redeemed? Do you know how much Jesus cares for you and why he came to take on your sins so that you could become sinless, as it were, in God's eyes and be restored to relationship with him? I wouldn't have understood, when I was 16 years old, I wouldn't have understood a word that I just said. I didn't know him. I knew all about him, but I simply had never experienced his life and his light. And praise God, by 21 I did, and I gave my life to him. And I found out that not only was he king, not only was he born, and not only was a king that redeemed, he is a king of the present who redeems men and women today. He's alive. He's a living king. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Mighty God. He'll be called Everlasting Father, and he'll be called the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it. Not only is our king born, and we celebrate that, not only does our king redeem, and we celebrate that, we celebrate at Christmas, as Christians, that our king's kingdom has come. It's here. The king is here. And there's an already but not yet aspect to his kingdom. Okay? Why else would we still have death and disease and COVID, for crying out loud? There's still a battle going on and a war that's being waged, but the war's outcome is certain. In the final fleeting days of World War II, it was after D-Day, it was almost a done deal that the Allied forces were going to defeat Hitler, and it was over, the war was over. And yet, my second uncle died in that time. The war was over and everybody knew it. You just had to, get to march to Munich and take over, and even though the war was over and the battle was won, or the victory was won, the battle still continued, and he died during that time. And so we're in that time today. Jesus is king. He reigns. His kingdom is coming. It's expanding. It's here. He heals. He fights for us. We can feel like we're a part of his kingdom already, and yet it's not yet. We celebrate the fact at Christmas that he is our king, and he has a kingdom, and his kingdom is coming in its fullness. There will be a time. Will there be no more sickness? There's going to come a time where there will be no more pain. There's going to come a time when darkness will be vanquished and the door locked and the key thrown away. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more death. there'll only be the king, his kingdom, and the children of the king. Celebrating and saying hallelujah to the king. His kingdom is here. It's arrived. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for allowing us to participate in and to see how wonderful Christmas is and why we celebrate it. Because for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the government, the full weight of everything will be on his shoulders. And we will be free to celebrate his presence, his love, and his mercy forever, if we will accept these things that I spoke of by faith, believe them, put them in your heart, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him. Amen.